You are listening to the News Project for the week of May 27th, 2019, brought to you by GNAP TV. This week's episode features stories about the legislature's struggles to update Act 250, the state's land use law, and a Southern Vermont economic summit covering a wide range of issues facing the area.
It's looking more and more as if any meaningful overhaul of Act 250, the state's nearly 50-year-old land use and development statute, will have to await another legislative session. With the state legislature poised to adjourn as soon as it can pass a state budget and a handful of other must-pass bills, in addition to finding compromises on a minimum wage bill and possibly a paid family leave bill, prospects for a wide-ranging revision of Act 250 are less than unlikely. In 2017, the legislature created a six-member study commission to analyze the land use law and to recommend changes. Last year, in 2018, the commission held several meetings around the state to hear from interested parties on what updates should be included to bring the statute up to contemporary speed. One of those meetings was held at the Inn at Manchester and drew a sizable crowd. And early in January of this year, the commission issued a report of its recommendations and findings along with a draft piece of legislation. However, the proposed legislation and recommendations got bogged down in the House Committee on Natural Resources as the complexity of threading the needle between competing priorities of developers and environmentalists became too overwhelming, said Representative Chris Bates of Bennington, one of the members of the Natural Resources Committee.
We're not going anywhere with it right now. We kind of shelved it. It's been very, very complicated. It's been complicated for me as well as other committee members. There's a lot of moving parts. And, you know, when we're trying to update something into a bill, it is very, very, very sensitive, and you have to make sure that all the I's and the T's and everything are dotted and crossed, and we have to make sure that what we're doing is going to be right, because it's going to be for another 50 years. And we all know Act 250 does have a problem with hindering our economic growth. I will say that. Kicked around the idea of lowering the elevation from 2,500 feet to 2,000, and you know, that's a huge deal because you're going to be adding in more land into Act 250, and then talking about forest blocks and connectivity. And you know, my past experience here in the State House with Fish and Wildlife Natural Resource Committee, we talked a lot about connectivity. And when you have this animal problem, it is very important, because we took testimony on how important connectivity is, where we don't break that up because we have migrations of animals. And I thought, I know everything about animals, and you come to find out that you only know this much of it. So
there are several key changes the commission recommended. They included exempting development within designated areas such as downtown development districts, recognizing climate change within the criteria used to evaluate development proposals, addressing forest and habitat fragmentation, and changing the appeals process. That final point is one that has been a frequent subject of complaints from businesses, because originally, appeals of District Environmental Commission's decisions followed a so-called dual-track system involving a Citizens Environmental Board as well as an environmental court. That was consolidated about 15 years ago, but the new report recommends redividing up appeals of Act 250 permits from zoning appeals and enforcement actions. This last point drew support from John Licardi, a former commissioner and chairman of the District 1 Act 250 Board, which covers Rutland County.
I think the appeal process needs to be streamlined and changed. Right now, Act 250 appeals are made directly to the Environmental Court. The Environmental Court not only hears Act 250 appeals, but also appeals from municipal permits and other items that tend to jam that court's docket. And as a result of that, the Act 250 decisions, especially those that are contested, because they're de novo, in other words, they have to be heard all over again in the Environmental Court, are sometimes years in resolution. And the idea of having a citizen board hear only the Act 250 appeals is something that should be really pursued, because I think it would streamline the process.
He also addressed another issue which has gotten some attention, revoking the exemption of slate quarries from Act 250 review.
I also think that the slate quarry exemption should be revoked, and slate quarries should be put in the same category as our other extraction industries are in the state of Vermont. We have reasonable conditions on granite, sand, gravel, and even water mining in the state of Vermont, but not on the slate quarries. And I think the idea that the slate quarries will suddenly go out of business if there are some reasonable conditions on their operation is just a red herring. And I think that's really important. It would help the entire Slate Valley feelings down there, and there's no reason for that exemption anymore.
Another big question is climate change criteria, something which was not on the radar back in the 1970s when the original law was drafted.
The current list of criteria for Act 250 does very little to address climate change, because it's obviously something that's come along since those criteria have been enacted. So that needs to be taken care of. We have issues like forest fragmentation that is not well addressed in our current Act 250 criteria. So there are 21st century issues that have to be woven into the Act 250 process.
But the appeals overhaul drew a less than enthusiastic reaction from Representative Linda Joy Sullivan, who has followed the Act 250 process closely.
I believe that they want to assign the appellate process away from the courts, and they want to put those appellate processes in the hands of another administrative body that's going to be in Montpelier, and those members actually will not have any legal training. I think that the members of the new body and the people who will hear those appeals would actually have no accountability to the public. We need to use caution when we deal with issues like that. And I would think, and I can't speak for the governor, but I would think that the governor would also be prudent when it comes to the judicial system and the appellate decision. I think that Act 250 right now wants to give more rulemaking to this board that's going to be hearing these appeals, and that we'll end up with a bottleneck in the appellate process. So I think we have to use caution, because we don't want to put in the process a policy where the parties themselves are overseeing their own policy objectives. I think that's one of the most crucial areas. I know that the legislators from Rutland, as well as myself, have brought in some bills that will deal with that. Then I think right now it's very important for this Act 250 bill to make sense to Vermont, is to get the public more engaged and take it slow. I think bringing out this bill right now and even piecemealing it, taking little sections out of context, is dangerous.
Senator Brian Campion of Bennington County was one of the members of the original commission that was created back in 2017, and he's hopeful their proposals will become a legislative priority for next year's session.
Act 250, I think most Vermonters would agree, if not all, Act 250 is one of the things that keeps Vermont as beautiful as it is. It really works to enhance, develop tight, small downtowns and avoid sprawl and keep our green mountains green for hiking and recreational kinds of activities. So that is an important bill. The House started with that bill, so it's up in House Natural Resources. They spent most of this first year of the biennium on the bill, and hopefully they'll pass something to the Senate in early January that we'll get started on. In the most broadest sense, I think what we're looking to do is again, preserve what Vermont has, which again is tight downtowns where people can live, people may not need cars, people can walk. We know that millennials are very different than people my age. They're not necessarily interested in a home sort of away from an urban area. They're not as interested maybe in the countryside. in terms of living. They want to be able to recreate there, but they're comfortable living and wanting to live in downtowns. We want to enhance that kind of thing. We want to continue to avoid sprawl as much as possible in this state. I think Act 250 has been good for business. It's been good to attract people to Vermont. People largely come to Vermont, or many Vermonters, in their decision has to do with the beauty of the state, and we want to continue to preserve that.
For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. More than 250 people from various public and private sector organizations, from business, government, and nonprofit entities, converged on the Grand Summit Hotel at Mount Snow in Westover, Vermont, on Thursday, May 23rd, to take part in a wide-ranging economic summit meeting which looked at various issues confronting the economy of the southern tier of the state. The summit meeting was the third annual one held between officials from Bennington and Windham counties in an effort to find means and opportunities to work together more regionally to boost economic growth in the two counties, as well as address issues like declining population numbers and attracting and retaining more younger residents. The conference was organized by the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation and the Bennington County Regional Commission, who, along with a couple of affiliated groups, are trying to promote regional cooperation and exchanges of ideas to nudge the area's economy forward and develop new business opportunities here. The southern part of the state has been lagging behind the rest of Vermont across several key indicators, which were flagged by a study in 2015 known as the Southern Vermont Economic Zone Report. A highlight of the meeting was the announcement of six winning proposals for support from the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or CEDS, a program which outlines a long-term strategic plan to bring partners together to address economic issues. Windham County developed a CEDS plan in 2014, following Tropical Storm Irene and the looming closure of Vermont Yankee. Bennington County joined in a couple of years later, and the five-year plan was renewed this year. A federally approved CEDS plan may leverage federal dollars to advance the underlying projects along with other supports. The six winning proposals included the SoVermont Marketing Campaign, the Entrepreneurial Consortium, the Windham Region Village Water and Wastewater Need Assessment and Feasibility Plan, advocacy work to support the expansion of commuter railroad service, renovations at the Old School Community Center in Wilmington, and the second stage of the Putnam Block redevelopment in Bennington. A committee made up of 13 community members from the two counties selected the list from more than 70 initial proposals.
Strategies that we came up with, and just in general, the review process, I think for most of us as we develop this, these statements and sort of our guiding principles for the CEDS, despite your background, whether you were a newcomer or a longtime resident, everybody wanted everything to be the same but better. And that fundamentally, we all understood that we could not grow an economy in this region without also simultaneously addressing our social and community infrastructure's deficiencies. So we developed, we needed a bold framework. And from that, we developed the vision statement, which was that in 2030, Southern Vermont Economic Development Zone will be home to a resilient, creative, and inclusive community where businesses and people thrive. So the bold idea for me in this statement is that in 11 years, this zone, Bennington and Windham County, will be one community that we must view ourselves as an interconnected network of individuals that need each other to survive and thrive here. And that in order to achieve this, we must actually act as one, and we must think as one.
Before the conference drew to a close with the CEDS announcements, a series of workshops and breakout sessions were held, beginning with a connectivity breakfast, which reviewed the status and gaps in broadband and cellular service in the area. The workshops that came later included such subjects as financing community projects, workforce workarounds in a tight labor market, and funding small business growth. One of them highlighted resilient communities and featured the Arlington Area Renewal Project and Manchester's rezoning efforts. Jim Salzgiver, a member of the Dorset Select Board and the Taconic and Green Regional School Board, gave us his takeaway on the conference.
This conference is, you know, it's fabulous. What I really love to see is Bennington County and Windham County, you know, having worked together on the issue of, you know, how do we deal with economic development in southern Vermont? Because, you know, it's become clear over the years that, you know, the economy in the south, the southern part of Vermont, is more challenged certainly than Chittenden County or a lot, you know, in the north in some different areas. And, you know, in dealing with economic development and trying to, you know, see ways to improve things over time, you know, it's become really clear that, you know, we can't really look to the state to bail us out of this. You know, the solutions have to come, you know, much more locally. And, you know, I think we can look to the state to provide some assistance. But as far as, you know, defining what needs to be done to get the southern Vermont economy going again and improving the lot for, you know, all the people in southern Vermont, it really has to come from southern Vermont. And, you know, this conference, I think, it shows that, you know, we've got two counties that historically haven't worked together on these issues, but there's every reason for them to work together. And, you know, they are now working together to try to find solutions. And I think, you know, that's fabulous, and that's going to actually be what's necessary to get us out of, you know, sort of our economic rut in southern Vermont.
We also had a chance to talk with Cora Skeel, the sales and marketing manager of Mocha Joe's Roasting of Brattleboro, and Dimitri Garter of Global Z in Bennington, who were members on two of the 12 panels assembled to discuss and analyze some of the economic trends they were seeing.
A bunch of different people were talking really about a couple of themes, which were kind of unintentional, but one was that this requires a lot of collaboration between local entities, between individual local people, using different skill sets to come together to take care of our businesses and our communities. And also, all of it was about redevelopment. So MNAS development, they're talking about the Putnam Block in Springfield, talking about the redevelopment of a school as like a space to have, I don't know, there's like a tech program, an entrepreneur, like a sponsorship program, that sort of thing. So it was all really about taking existing spaces in our towns and revitalizing them and figuring out how to make them productive again. And also highlighting that there's a lot of space that is not productive and not being utilized in our towns. And that's great. I mean, I think that really speaks to this presentation as well. Like, instead of sprawling out, let's sort of zoom in, focus in. So that's sort of what we were discussing. It was great. It was really cool to hear about the community collaboration. That was really striking to me.
My comments were mostly around technology as both a disruptor as well as an opportunity for rural economic development. As a disruptor, technology is changing the way downtowns function, for instance, with a lot of retail moving online to companies like Amazon. It's changing the ability for downtown retailers to compete using traditional retail models. So the reinvention of downtowns in order to respond to that threat really has to consider more experiential types of businesses that can't be replicated in the digital form. And that's one of the reasons why we're starting to see mixed-use redevelopment projects become very popular to revitalize downtowns, where it's more about 18-hour economies where people are working and living and buying services in the downtown, so more cafes and restaurants and that type of experiential spaces to activate the downtown. So that's one example of how technology is disrupting our social infrastructure.
The keynote address was delivered by Joseph Minicozzi, an urban planner and consultant who presented several case studies which explored a frequent mismatch that occurs between where taxable wealth is created in municipalities and where that revenue often goes. Emerging young professionals were also recognized at the conference, with some 22 being singled out for their role and activities in their local communities. Sarah Lang of the Southern Vermont Economy Project and one of the organizers of the conference summed up the event and plans for the future.
I think what was great about this summit, obviously there were more people. This year we had about 250, where previously we had 200 last year. I think the increase in people that showed up really kind of show how interested people are and invested in investing in Southern Vermont's future. And honestly, what comes out of this is connections. You know, I hope people learned at least one or two things. But I think that it's really the people that they meet here and hopefully continue or start collaborations from here on out. However, we will be putting out an exit survey asking people some follow-up questions. And, you know, one of those questions is going to be, what would you like to see? What kind of other maybe smaller conferences, workshops, what kind of skills are people interested in, you know, learning more about that can really help their community? And I think that it's really about following up on those connections, to be honest.
For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.